legal system tends not to be restorative, but rather punitive, retributive. So I wonder if somebody could just, but on the other hand, you're dealing with issues that do engage, that cross these lines between the ideal way that you all as a community may want to handle them and the way they're handled out in the greater society, which is not very well. So I wonder whether somebody could speak to that question of why legal counsel needs to be present and part of this process.
Thank you, Beth. I want to ask Jason Miller to answer the question about why, what are the laws that require attorneys to be here? Why is the council here for the school?
Okay.
Jason? Absolutely. Thank you so much for the question. First and foremost, there is no law that says that I need to be here for, or that any attorney needs to be here for this meeting. But this is a time of a great deal of complex issues are coming up. As almost everyone has addressed, there are a myriad of complications that are going on that involve lots and lots of legal structures and legal investigations. And I think it's imperative that that is transparent and that is focused, and that that we are involved in the community conversations as facts are being gathered through this process. Due process rights exist for all students, and we need to make sure that we're monitoring that as well. And there was some concern because of the anonymous nature of the Zoom platform and the comments that there would be continued negativity going on there that could require legal oversight. So that's the purpose of why my colleague Mr. Rudolph is in the chat, is to keep track of that, to make sure that we are sufficiently protected from that regard. I also was informed by staff very early into this process that there is a need for an independent investigators being involved, and that is through our office that those independent investigators are being identified. And put into it. So that's, I guess the short answer is this is a very, very complex legal situation. And we wanna make sure that everybody's rights are protected and that that the school is doing everything it needs to do to protect those rights. And that's gonna require legal assistance.
There may well be more dialogue to have on this score, but I wanna move on now to the next section of public discussion and start with the School Safety Council. So how are you all planning to do that? There are five people whose names are listed here. Do you each need some time, or is this a group discussion of some sort? Where are you? Ty, Sam, Maya, Bahia, and Susanna.
We asked to go in order, so I think you should refer to Bahia.
Okay. So this is an order you've described, right? Okay, so I'll just let you go.
I'm going first, actually.
Am I starting? Yeah. Can I go?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, everyone. So yeah, we're going to make a speech real quick. We presented a version of this at the last PD meeting. We're going to try to talk fast because it's in five different sections and each one is, we're going to try to keep it to a minute and a half. But so basically the speech is just to kind of address some misconceptions and some timeline stuff that has happened and just some kind of what we have to say. We have more to say that will come later, but this is a start. So I want to ground us all in what actually happened two Thursdays ago on September 30th. The walkout that was organized by the Student Safety Committee was without a doubt one of the most powerful experiences of my life. I know that a lot of faculty and administration were unable to make it, which and parents and other students, obviously, which we don't blame anyone for, but also because of that, all that many people have seen of this walkout is the chaos of the aftermath of it, right? And so we've kind of lost sight of what was really at the heart of this protest and what were the intentions of it. And I know that harm, intentions, whatever, but there seems to be some impression that, like, yeah, this walkout was meant to, like, I don't know, that we've been trying to stir the pot or do inflammatory things and stuff like that. But we actually, I will let Simi take over from there.
Yeah, okay.
All right, thank you. This is Simi. Our agenda was to begin at 11 a.m. The early start was unplanned and the organizers tried to avoid people leaving before 11. We were to chant and march together to Uptown Park. There we gathered by the steps and stage and gathered in the sand and steps. Two of our SSC leaders began the protest by reading our list of demands to the student body. Then people shared pre-written speeches that were very powerful. After that, two of our incredibly brave SSC members shared their own personal stories of sexual abuse that had occurred on campus. Parts of these stories included the lack of support that they received from the school opening upon reporting their abuse. We required that no speakers use their names of any students and that the audience members did not record this portion of the walkout. Then we opened the floor for other students to share any thoughts or experience they had. This is the part of the walkout that became viewed as the original intent of the event, which it was not, and was viewed as re-traumatizing. And while it was extremely necessary and powerful, it was not planned for this to become a huge component of the event. I don't know how to explain the energy of the space, but basically within minutes, we had time. We were lined up from the back of the Uptown steps to the back of the statues, maybe three times over. They also shared experiences of solidarity and sadness within a support group. I'm going to estimate around 60 students were there, and we were shut down around 45 minutes earlier than planned. The shutdown was due to a lack of mental health support at OSA. Obviously, we knew this was an issue because it was one of the issues we were protesting. However, there had been a support circle set up on the stage for people who had spoken out or friends who need support. This was one of the most beautiful parts of the walkout. However, when we went to the space that was set up for mental health, SSC members were put in the position where they needed to be the ones to provide the support needed instead of the trained professionals. There also seems to be a narrative that the walkout in particular was re-traumatizing. The walkout has revealed the trauma that the school holds, nor has it started or ended it. What's traumatizing is getting daily calls from your friends that are scared to go out of class. What's traumatizing is being told it's your fault. What's traumatizing being told is watching one of your closest friends become a shell of their former selves because of how OSA handled his case. This is the tearing down of the tower and the start of a new beginning.
Hi, I'm the next speaker. Can we get more time, please?
Carry on. So let me just, before you do that, we have a number of people. Not everybody is going to have time to speak. It's really important that your voice here, so go for it as briefly as you can.
Okay, thank you. My name is Maya. I'm a senior. I'm 16 years old. I'm also one of the presidents of the SSC. At the walkout on Thursday, conflict have arisen from people being kicked out. We want to address this because we empathize with how this could sound concerning to those who couldn't attend. The Title IX coordinator expressed to us that this is not breaking any rules or regulations to control who is in our audience at a student-led event. When many people in the crowd came up to us privately and told us they might leave because they don't feel comfortable with certain individuals being there, we felt we had to do something to protect the safety of the space. After certain names were said more than once, a member of the SSC would go up to the alleged people who have caused harm and privately and quietly ask them to leave. We want to make it absolutely clear that this was not done in front of the audience, and we tried our best to make sure the situation was free of embarrassment. We realize now that this was not the best way to go about things, and if we were going to kick people out, there should have been more structure when going about it. However, we cannot pretend like these were there were no pros to this decision. The vulnerable, passionate, and supportive environment would not have been possible had the alleged people who have caused harm been there. We wanted a space where people could share their anonymous stories and immediately be fully accepted and supported by the audience, and that is exactly what we got with this decision. As the alleged were accused, there have been several instances where the legitimacy of the claims were questioned because of the accused ethnicity. These boys were not targeted because of their ethnic background. Staff has been focusing on the race of the accused instead of the race of the victims, who have all been women of color, and their priorities are completely backwards. The demographics are easily noticeable. The survivors willing to speak out about the people who have allegedly harmed the female students of color, the survivors who have made claims against the alleged, are all female students of color. It's ahistorical to talk about this tragedy without addressing the other. BIPOC women's abuse goes unnoticed or not talked about when white teachers or male teachers give themselves the authority to lead these discussions and teach these subjects. You can protect us too.
Hi, I'm Bahia. I'm the next speaker for SSC. We understand that this has been a stressful time for everyone involved, including teachers and faculty. However, language directed towards and around students is crucial. There have been instances where teachers have been using victim-blaming language, and that cannot be tolerated. For example, mentioning only the struggles of teachers and not the struggles of students, mentioning how the leave of teachers is a student's fault, using words like re-traumatization in the context of the walkout, etc. There have been instances where teachers have had harmful conversations with teachers while students were around and overheard. I want to reiterate that teachers and faculty can say whatever they want outside of school, but please refrain from expressing your personal opinions in a vulgar manner around students, because right now it's extremely unprofessional and upsetting in an environment for students. This has harmed survivors and made students who overheard feel very uncomfortable. This also includes emails to students, parents, and faculty. We need to be able to trust you for you to do your job effectively. If your job is to protect us, then protect us. We also want to address that we did not invite or plan for middle schoolers to be at this event. However, the fact that dozens of 11-year-olds have already experienced or witnessed the effects of sexual harm was heartbreaking, and it was necessary that it was brought to light. There's a statistic somewhere that people under 18 are 5 times more likely to be assaulted despite only being 24% of the population. When the walkout ended because middle schoolers were unable to handle the topics being discussed, it wasn't explained that middle schoolers had made up a huge chunk of the speakers and how much they wanted to continue sharing. Finally, I just want to reiterate that this walkout was the first time for many people that they felt like they had a safe place to share their stories, which was the primary concern of all of those who participated, that in our lives, in our school, we have never been able to been given a chance to share our stories and actually listen to. That was a safe space.
Okay, I'm going next. My name is Susanna. I'm 17 years old, and I'm one of the leaders of SSC. One of the reasons that trauma from 9/11 or war is much less stigmatized in our society than the trauma of sexual assault is that those things were experienced collectively. What this walkout did was create one of the safest spaces or bravest spaces that I've ever been in by letting students share incredibly heavy and negative stories, feel extremely heavy feelings, and then immediately be met with cheers and claps and dozens of hugs and supportive words. Letting people share their stories often for the first time in their lives, then be flooded with love immediately after was powerful. All of us are frustrated and stressed and heartbroken and worried for extremely valid reasons. And as SSC, we want to just extend our love to this community. We know that everyone is trying to address these issues in the way that they think makes the most sense. And while things haven't been handled perfectly by anyone involved, we also know we have to work together with grace and forgiveness in order to really heal the harm that has been caused. And we are excited to start that healing process together if we can all remember that the most important thing is listening to and supporting students. I want to end by talking about this idea called revolutionary optimism. Revolutionary optimism just means that in order to build the world that we want to see, we have to believe that the world is possible. So this is a quote: "To be a revolutionary optimist is not to be delusional or idealistic or to view the world through rose-tinted lenses. In short, it is to fear nothing and to remain resolute in service to the people, fortified by the truth that is the masses who make history, and that justice will be achieved regardless of man's will. We realize the necessity of revolution, and we'll do what we must." Thank you.
Thank you, Susanna. I just want to congratulate the students for breaking eggs, for opening up this whole subject for the kind of scrutiny and intervention and learning on everybody's part. So, and I echo the thing you just said, which I'm sure nobody in this has done everything perfectly, but you're such a work in progress as a community that it's inspiring, and you students have launched this and really made it possible for everybody. So my hat's off to you. Thank you. We're going to have time for maybe three more speakers. So I'm going to take you in the order you signed up. Abayomi. I also just want to say that there'll be other opportunities. I think one of those is a panel that APT is organizing next Tuesday. So it's helpful if you know you're not going to get to speak here, that there's another opportunity coming up soon, and hopefully those will keep rolling on. So there'll be lots more spaces to continue this dialogue. So Abayomi Brome.
Hey guys, how are you guys doing? I am the parent of a ninth grader, and I'm devastated at this meeting. One of the things that I want to tell you guys is that these Black boys at this school are not on the opposing team of the girls in this SSC thing, but they're being treated like they are. So whenever someone speaks about Black boys being called rapists online and in school in front of teachers and walking the hallways, no one talks about the mental anguish that they will go through for the rest of their lives. They say things like, well, you know, you're not supporting these girls if you support them, as if they're all guilty. And so if anyone says that anyone did it, they're all guilty. And so no one has addressed that they are called rapists on a daily basis at school in front of teachers and administration. And for a long time, nothing had been done about it. It was swept under the rug. And when all this information came out, it's like you're pitting two groups against each other. And they're not. They are absolutely not. They are victims. But it feels like people don't see them as kids, or it's very dehumanizing that no one is acknowledging that they were verbally. Imagine if a transgender kid was brutalized like that online and in school and no one said anything. That would be unheard of. But we keep making this about one group against the other group. So this is not blaming any group. It's acknowledging that these Black boys are unprotected at that school. People have been telling them that they are unwanted. I hope you die in a ditch. This is crazy that this type of language is allowed to be included in school and no one is speaking out. This is so hurtful. I cannot tell you, as I look at all of these faces, how many people that I'm devastated by people not speaking up and saying this is wrong. It has never been in print one time. Don't call people rapists at school. Don't do things that will, you're absolutely right. People have been lynched for this. People get murdered for this. And people are allowed to say without any evidence and due process, if someone says you're guilty, you're guilty. And most of the people who are saying this have no interaction with the people that they're saying it against. I mean, I want to say that again. Most of the people who are terrorizing these Black boys have not accused them of anything, and they have no personal interest other than to call them rapists. That's just heartbreaking.
Yes.
Our family is devastated.
This format, I have to say, is painful to witness, because these statements so cry out for dialogue, for somebody to address what you're saying, you know, directly, and what other people, everybody else has said. So I'm hoping that there will be forums coming up. This is a very stilted and ritualized, you know, 90 minutes, people talk, then you go to the next person. It's, I think, dictated by the rules of board meetings and the Brown Act, if that's correct, Josefina. So we can't actually get into a dialogue here.
There are limitations. I mean, I would like to suggest that we extend the meeting another 15 minutes, so that way we have more opportunity for people to talk. And also, I think part of that should be, you know, some response to the questions, starting yes. with Lisa. Just so we can have closure for this meeting, and there will be other opportunities to continue this work. This is not going to be the only conversation or opportunities to engage in this work. So let's just start by extending the public comment, you know, question period by another 15 minutes.
Okay. But so the this section, the comments for another 15 minutes, and then there'll be some response. Yes. Lisa? Okay, very good. All right, so Amina.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
My point is I am definitely on speaking exactly what Yome was saying. What our children, what our African-American boys have just gone through does not have to be at this time from backdated from Rosewood, from multiple people who have been hung, murdered, and everything. I know people don't want to hear it, but it's a fact. Just like it's a fact that these girls have experienced violence and trauma. And when this, I don't know what adult was in the room that did not think about the consequences of having this rally with no support for these girls, is just unbelievable to me. And all I want to know is, how is the genie going to be put back in the bottle? My children were called rapists and sexual assaulters, tormented online, the whole nine yards. I kept them home. I was guaranteed that morning that the ringleader was suspended, and come to find out that she was not. I'm just trying to understand, how is it okay for the two of these groups, which is crazy that it's groups. We should have been teaching compassion and empathy to these children instead of this being an angry expression of what has happened to them. That is where a lot of this lies, is because it was not handled properly. And now the children are expected to be responsible for their basically age-appropriate behavior. I don't understand how the genie is going to be put back into the bottle. And that's my biggest concern. I am totally for anybody who has been hurt to get help. And I don't know the particulars of how that help falls under the school, but I guess because they say it happened at school. But this is America. And until you are proven guilty, you are innocent. And I'm just horrified that my children has to have this as their self-worth moving forward. It's a struggle for Black boys in America. We just did all this marching. Black lives matter. My Black boys' lives matter. And my Black boys' lives should not be determined. Their quality of life at OSA should not be determined by someone else's trauma. That's my point, and I don't mean for it to sound cold, but what I do know is that there needs to be professional help for everybody. And thank it's you, Amina. Actually 3 weeks late.
Yes, thank you. Cassidy is next. Cassidy.
Hi. So we're actually back on the topic that I had wanted to talk about before. So I wanted to say that I understand that cyberbullying is a problem, but over this past week, I've seen the admin making false equivalencies between cyberbullying and literal physical assault. We all understand that things said online can cause problems, like very big problems, but they're making these, by making these false equivalencies, the seriousness of the problems of physical assault and sexual abuse are greatly diminished. We need to focus on supporting students and not reprimanding people for their anger in a situation that never would have happened if the school had handled all this properly. We as students are being held to the standards of adults while being treated like children, and we do not feel safe at our own school, and we need apologies from the school and support for survivors to be prioritized over like these circular conversations about cyberbullying that never get anywhere productive. Like, I'm seeing things about people never saying their equivalent, but like, even if no one's saying it out loud, the way they're being treated by the schools, the emails that the schools are sending out, everything that people, the way that the administration are treating it makes it seem like that. And that is a huge problem.
Cassidy, are you done?
Yes, sorry, it muted, but I'm done.
Okay. Thanks. Karen, you're next on the list, but since you've spoken once, do you mind if I move you? There are three other people waiting, and since you've had one time to speak, we'll give you the last word, probably, that means.
Yeah, if there's people in front of me, you can take them.
Okay, thanks. Mary Gomez.
Yeah, I wanted to go back and speak to the issue of communication from the school and whether, as a parent, it's been really hard to understand some of the decisions made about what has and has not been communicated to us over the last few weeks. And whether it's about the suspensions or about just the lack of clarity about what's happening, so that parents are getting together and trying to piece together a timeline and an understanding of what was really happening, or whether we're talking about Paulina not hearing back after such a, you know, an awful thing happened to her son. And one question that I have is whether the presence of lawyers has been basically making it harder for admin to communicate to us. If that's the case, we really need to at least be upfront about that, because right now there's this communication vacuum that I think is just feeding all of the problems that we're hearing about, because it's in the lack of information that people start to try to figure things out on their own, and dialogue can't happen until it's all erupting in a more difficult mode. So if you can't talk to us directly, at least tell us that you can't talk to us directly, and tell us why, to the, you know, extent that it's possible to do that, please.
Hopefully that's one of the questions that can be answered shortly. Simon, and then we'll have Karen and Paulina again.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I just wanted to start off by, again, thanking the SSC. Like, they have been really great during this. And I'm honestly, like, they've been in so many of the conversations of what's been going on in the school, and that, like, one, they shouldn't have had to be in that conversations. I think, like, definitely their mental health must not be doing so well. And I would just offer, like, if there is change for, like, specific or, like, care to be centered for the SSC members, I think that would be great. I wanted to talk about, so we had a, like, during our advisory period, we had a like Zoom call conversation with, it was like admin presenting, and they were like, yes, we see the issues, we're trying to take care of it. Here's what they gave, a very brief explanation of Title IX, and said, like, we're here for you. And then that was it. And we had a reflection about it afterwards, and a lot of the people in advisory were like, oh yeah, like, those were just words and it means nothing, basically. Like, as a student, that's what I was hearing. Like, admin is saying stuff that is gonna happen, and, like, we don't feel like it's gonna be executed well. And, like, we could have used that presentation, like, a week before. And so my last point is that I hope admin is able to hear us and come into spaces and not just talk at us. Thank you.
We have a few other people who have now asked to speak. But I think we should go to Paulina and Karen, and then bring in Team Resolution and Yasmin. So, Paulina, do you want to go next?
Yes, I'm kind of a little bit concerned that we're not making time for everybody to speak. I thought that's what this meeting was going to be about.
I think we are. That's why I let you in now, because I don't think we'll have a scarcity.
Okay, yeah. So I want to say that that the school is out of compliance with Title IX. That much is clear. And so we the fact that the school, even all the emails that have been sent out, you don't have to admit that you're out of compliance on Title IX, but you have to do some reflection on the school's role and what happened then and afterwards. Secondly, the Student Safety Committee, I am so inspired by all of you. So, so inspired by all of you to be able to tell your story. I would not have been able to do that. I would not have been able to do that, and I am so moved by it. So thank you for doing that. Sometimes we're told, you know, well, this school is better than the other schools. This school, there's no intent to harm anybody. Everybody's doing the best they can. Well, whether or not you're doing the best you can, harm still happens. And you're still harming people. This is our experience in special education with this school, where, you know, anyway. And lastly, I want to say around restorative justice. Restorative justice is a Native American practice that should be acknowledged by the school. And secondly, restorative justice doesn't mean that people don't have to leave the community. Okay, so in restorative justice, in the Native American practice, sometimes that has to happen. And the last thing I'll say about restorative justice is that if we're gonna have restorative justice in this case, I don't know how that happens when survivors have to see, and I'll say alleged, but alleged perpetrators every day. And my son has to see the people who beat him up every day while we go through a process of restorative justice. So that's it.
Yeah, there's a great deal more that could be said about the difficulties of doing restorative justice. One of my understandings of that process is that who is restored is the community. So there definitely needs to be built-in protection for on both sides of the equation, you know, of people who have been harmed and people who have done harm. I also just want to say, because we polarize and, you know, many of you have spoken to this, things so severely, but I have for over 50 years counseled people who have been both subject to sexual violence and also perpetrators, the doers of sexual violence. And I know how much healing can be done in community, that what you're going through right now of people speaking and being addressed and taken seriously and listened to is absolutely crucial first step. Equally, there's an opportunity for people who have done even the most harmful things to change, to grow, to heal, to be brought back into the fold of the community, even if there are times when they need to leave the community. So just to put that word in to echo what you've just said, Paulina. Karen, you want to go again? And then we have three other people to speak.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you to the SSC for protecting our students who were not only who came to speak at the event, but also to those sixth graders who were not ready to hear some of these stories. I also want to, you know, share that they actually saw that my son and the two kids were being impacted during the information. And rather than these kids being approached by faculty and staff, these kids were approached by the marvelous SSC students and said, "Do you feel uncomfortable? I feel like you're getting loud, and do you not feel well, that this is something that you're ready for?" My son said yes, and the SSC said, "Well, you're welcome to leave. We can either walk you through the cafeteria, or you know, whatever you feel comfortable with. You will not be judged." That meant a lot to me, and I just want to say that the SSC has, in many ways, acted more appropriately than the administration of this school. they have accepted their possible missteps in the process. They accepted how they could have done a better job. They have accepted the responsibilities. They have accepted their where they fell behind. And these are children. Don't see them as anything else as what they are. These are children of our school. And they have done a marvelous job on accepting this. They are not shifting blame. And I feel like in a lot of ways, our administration has shifted the blames from one person to the other, rather than taking ownership and responsibility. So I applaud you, SEC, for all the work that you have done with our children, for, of advocacy for the victims, and education to our own staff. Lastly, I wanna say that this administration also needs to take a very serious look at their structure and procedures of these interrelated effects that this has had. One, special education, racism and anti-racist practices that should be implemented, as well as sexual education at the school. I am very concerned that a people of color who is a member of the special education department was not protected and has been harmed and was attacked. So this really needs to be investigated. And if you're planning to do restorative justice, please do not bring any lawyers to that. Because if you're doing restorative justice, our students should be heard and should feel safe. The minute we bring lawyers into restorative justice and or the police into this, that circle is broken. We really need to be very careful on how we approach it. Thank you.
All right. Who is team resolution? Team resolution is next.
I think I also signed up for a final public comment.
Okay, so time in. I was confused. I thought maybe you had taken care of that in your earlier thing. All right, I'll bring you back in. Can we do team resolution and then time in?
Yes, I'm sorry about that. I'm in a garage, so if I go out, I do apologize. I have a sixth grader, and I think that my biggest concern, which I missed the first part of the meeting, so it could have been talked about already, but I think that that was like a little heavy for her. I would like to say, I hope that in the future that any staff members or faculty that is present in these meetings or walkouts or protests, that they kind of make a judgment call in regards to what middle schoolers are ready for. Those topics were very heavy for people just coming out of elementary school. And when my daughter came back like home and she was telling me about it, she told me that she regret going because, you know, it kind of made her a little scared and a little nervous. I definitely felt like the middle schoolers should have been walked out in general. Those are topics that probably a parent should be having with them. And then more so on a high school level, just kind of in the future, if we see that, hey, this conversation may be a little heavy for the kids, that the middle schoolers are excused from situations like this, because this has caused, put stuff on her mind that was not there already, you know. And then furthermore, she is in student council now, or student government now. And the first meeting was talking about sex education and passing out condoms and stuff like that. These, again, are topics that I don't feel like my sixth grader is ready to talk about or hear from the school and teachers and students and stuff. So I just hope that in the future, we can definitely make judgment calls in regards to the sixth, seventh, and eighth graders on whether or not these are appropriate topics for them to be talking about at such a young age. Again, just leaving elementary school.
Okay, thank you. Time in, would you like to go next?
Hi, Yeah, I would love to. Okay, I'm gonna try to talk really fast. I'm actually going to be reading just from an email that I sent actually to the administration earlier. Oh no, I lost it in my mail. Last week after the email that was sent to I'm so sorry. Give me one second because I lost it in my email inbox. There it is. Okay. Sorry. Okay. The email that was sent out by Lisa Sherman Coltz, our executive director, last week, just because I feel like it addresses some of these things. I think there's just been so much misinformation and this is also kind of vague because I didn't want to say any names, but yeah, I'm just going to read from that. Okay. So I would like to share my frustrations with the language used in this email. First of all, I think it demonstrates a lack of understanding of the events that actually led up to the physical fights on Tuesday. Lumping all of the altercations into one, a response to bullying, or two, a response to rumors of sexual harm is inaccurate. I know that lots of misconceptions about the aftermath of the walkout has been thrown around, and you might not have gotten the full minute-by-minute recap of what happened or formal statements from all parties involved, but I know that for two out of the three fights, the perpetrators were absolutely not quote unquote bullied before the altercations began. For two of the students who began fights as well, I would like to reiterate that they were never publicly accused of sexual harm. And as we discussed in our meeting with the administration on Monday, which SSC met with them last Monday when school was canceled, the SSC's main concern with them starting after the walkout was that there were threats of harm made to survivors that were clearly never taken seriously enough. The instance that was a response to posts shared on social media was really a different set of events than the other two fights and deserved to be treated as such. Furthermore, these social media posts criticized white male students at OSA as well as the Black student who responded on Tuesday. While I think that these social media posts were immature and unhelpful to our cause, to characterize them as, quote, targeting Black heterosexual males, as you did in this email, is inaccurate and harmful. Personally, okay, I'm just going to say the administration and I have sat in many meetings about racial justice at this school. I'm a co-chair of the BSOC and the Asian Pacific Islander Student Union. You are aware of the criticisms that the school has received about their treatment of issues surrounding race and students of color OSA, and I don't feel it is necessary for me to repeat them. For you and the administration to continuously use the identities of the students being accused as a way to make the response to their harm seem inappropriate or extreme is extremely disrespectful and disingenuous. The young women who have been harmed by these students since last Thursday alone, let alone any past events, so we're talking about since the walkout alone, are all women of color. Throughout these women of color have been de-racialized as a way to make this seem like a race versus gender issue. This is a race and gender issue. Intersectionality is extremely important. Men of color deserve for their rights to be protected, but when men of color have caused harm to women of color and women of color are brave enough to speak out about it and are then accused of racist behavior, that is highly, highly problematic. And it is even disrespectful to the Black male students whose identities are used as a tool to push an agenda and not in a way that actually promotes truth or justice. In general, the response to the altercations has placed a disproportionate focus on bullying as the reason for retaliation. Two of the alleged perpetrators, have also been reported to the administration for having surrounded, confronted, and threatened fellow students after the walkout. I do not wish to speak for the following students, but blank never bullied his attackers, blank and blank never bullied their attackers. They stood, they spoke out against sexual harm and privately criticized them after those threats had already been made after the walkout. They did not accuse their peers. I believe in a restorative approach to solving these issues, but the school has so far failed on all fronts to address the right harm in the right places. On Wednesday, the other SSC members and I shared with you and faculty our concerns. This was last Wednesday when we shared our list of demands. We shared our concerns about how the past week has been handled at our list of demands reading. One of our critiques that we could have expanded on with more time was language that had been used in communication with students, survivors, and the community over recent events. I believe in the rights of students as stated in Title IX to not be harassed or denied an education, but that does not mean that survivors who speak out about their abuse deserve punishment in order to protect the rights of those who have caused them harm. Survivors in the past week have been blamed for creating chaos, disorder, and pain in our school. If you look up victim blaming language, these are all perfect examples. For parents, faculty, and community members who do not know the students who have been involved, my fellow SSC members, or who do not know the real chain of events, these survivors have been painted in a light that breaks my heart and fills me with anger. SSC expressed our excitement in working with you to move forward and heal our community, but I feel as though we have been misunderstood and ignored time and time again, especially our members of color. And I think a lot of these things have been spoken on today. I would love to be able to be in another forum where we can elaborate, but that is something that I shared with the administration last.
Yes. Good. I hope there will be a lot more time to explore and, you know, kind of fill in information about what actually happened and what was involved and your feelings about that time in. I've turned my video off because my connection is getting unstable, and sometimes that helps. So, not not disappearing from you all, just trying to manage bad technology. So Yasmin Anwar, and then Frankie Edinger. And then we're going to go to get some responses from administration and board. So Yasmin?
Hi there, this is Yasmin. I'm the mother of a senior. And so I'm sort of speaking as a parent, and I actually think I'm not the only one who's feeling this way. So you've been asking, or I get the sense that you're asking parents to talk to their kids and support them right now. But I don't feel like I have enough facts to talk to my child and support him. I really don't have any other context for what's going on other than rumors and this uncomfortable feeling that sexual assault survivors are being pitted against victims of racial discrimination and vice versa. And it feels really uncomfortable. I have no idea who I'm supposed to side with and what I'm supposed to be telling my son right now. So my question to you is, the administration, is what message are you asking us to take to our children other than, you know, that everyone's presumed innocent until proven guilty? What are we supposed to be talking to our kids about right now?
Okay. Yes, I hope people are making note. I've made note of that and other questions, and hopefully we can get some answers. Frankie?
Hi, can you guys hear me okay?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay. So hi, I'm a member of the Student Safety Committee, and I would just like to once again remind every single parent and faculty member here that the members of SSC are teenagers. We are minors, and we should not have to be fighting for the ability to feel safe from our abusers at school. And I would also like to address the idea that cyberbullying and socially ostracizing those who have caused sexual harm and memes are not the same thing as being sexually assaulted, and I am disgusted that it is being seen as such. The board and OSA faculty need to take immediate action to make survivors at OSA safe. And I'm frankly past the point of worrying about what alleged abusers think of us and think of me, because I do not feel safe at my own school right now, and that is a huge issue. Any anger directed at SSC is anger that is misdirected. All we want is for survivors to feel safe at OSA and in society, and if you are angry at that, that is an internal issue that should not be taken out on us. Thank you.
All right, Abayomi, you wanted a second spot here.
I just want to bring us to a conclusion.
Yeah.
I just want to reiterate to the administration that we keep conflating these two issues. When you speak about people who are being cyberbullied, it's a completely separate issue than the sexual thoughts. I just want you guys to understand that people keep, when you say, hey, listen, we shouldn't have these boys be called rapists, then there's a comeback for that. And I want you to feel that if someone called your son a racial epithet or something about their gender and all this stuff, it would be wrong. We're saying let due process happen. But I think people don't realize the number of Black boys this has happened to. So we're not justifying any violence or anything. We're saying don't let these boys be abused on, because what if that becomes the norm now, that we start, that it's okay if I have a disagreement or I think someone did something, that I could publicly sandblast them. I can put their name and call them a whatever online. And I'm looking at their faces and I am dumbfounded at how unbothered people are. So when I say this, there's no response and people are, yeah, but what about, it's like, hold on, man. These are not, they're not on opposite teams. Black boys being assaulted, whether it be cyberbullying or whatever, that's not the opposite of the SSC. But they keep, we keep acting like they're against each other. And I don't understand if you're saying that they're both victims that are totally separate. No one is blaming any member that I know of the SSC of doing this stuff that we're saying, but I keep hearing people responding to it as if there's an attack on the SSC. There are Black boys being called rapists at school and being threatened with violence. They have nothing to do with any of this stuff. That is unfounded and unproven, and no one's sticking up for them. And I am devastated at how unbothered you all are. That when I tell you this, it's like, well, you know, they did it though. It's like, no, they didn't. We can't say that all these boys did it. And maybe people don't know the tens or at least 12 families that I know that have been affected by this, by people that have nothing to do with this. So we're having two different discussions. And I really want people to know that this is hurtful and painful, that we keep getting this talk back about us saying, don't be bullied, don't do cyberbullying. We're cyberbullying. Who the hell said that? No one ever said that cyberbullying is worse. Like, there's no comparison. Both of those are wrong. Let's create a community where we're welcome. But if you have an issue with an individual Black boy, you cannot look at them as a monolith, and you are addressing all of the Black boys. And the thing is that people at school who have nothing to do with anything feel safe in calling these Black boys rapists and putting stuff online. That's what I'm saying. So we please let's not do the tit for tat, because that's not a tit for tat thing. If you have an issue with that person, take it to the administration. But all these other kids that are being affected by that, no one gives a shit. No one cares. I am dumbfounded at this.
Okay. On that note, let's hand it over for some responses. So Josefina, I need some guidance here. Who should be
Let's
some of these questions.
Yeah. Let's start with Lisa.
Okay, Lisa.
Hi, good evening, everyone. I first just want to say thank you. Thank you for this evening. Thank you for coming. We heard a lot of voices tonight, ranging from our students who are very, very heartfelt and passionate to our parents. There has been a lot of rumors. There has been misinformation that has been out here. And tonight was a first step for us to come together as a community, to begin to have a process that doesn't happen quickly. But as Beth alluded to, it's hard in a meeting like this where you can't have that dialogue. I want to begin by just sharing that as the ED of the school, that this is an incredible school. This is an incredible school that has done outrageously wonderful things. We are graduating great alumni, and we are in a moment of time right now where we need to heal. We need to process, and we need to go through a process to heal. And that's going to take some time. We started tonight by sharing as much information as we could with an overview of what happened, with some immediate pieces that were put into place, with our thinking around, and I want to thank the community members that reached out to us with relating consultants and sharing different names of organizations as a support for OSA, and to really look and take a deep dive at the systems at our school. I will be the first one to say, we need help. We have some broken systems, and we need to repair them. We need to be looking and reviewing our policies and procedures very carefully, which we have begun very, very seriously. And I think through internal work with committees in the school, with external work with our community members and organizations and our parents, we will begin to repair some of these pieces. And this, again, is going to take a little time. I really value hearing from everybody tonight. There is so much hurt in this room on so many different levels. And what we have to remember is that we're a school. We're a school that is supposed to be providing a safe space and a nurturing space for our young people. We're a school where we are going to hear really incredibly wonderful voices that want to speak to everybody. And we're a school that we need to come together now to analyze and look at what needs repair, where we can do better, and how we can move the school forward. So I know those are more big picture items. I do want to answer just a couple of questions. The first is, as we are all mandated reporters, right? And we all have to go through a lot of training to step in front of our students. And to do that, we have to look at, you know, how we are conducting ourselves. I heard some students raise some concerns there. And to do that, there are certain laws that we have to abide by and policies and procedures that we have to abide by. So some things I might not be able to comment on, and other things I can share. And that is what the purpose of tonight was, is to have that first step in terms of sharing. Thank you.
Lisa, I wonder whether there's some resource that people could consult. Is there a link that could be provided to people that would clarify what it means that you are mandated reporters? Kind of what are the limitations of information? Because it's so clear that there's a need for more fluid information exchange, and yet there are limitations on that that you're very much aware of, and I think parents and students may not be. So yeah, it'd be helpful if there were
to differentiate between like a mandated reporter, right? That's for us working with minors, right? Yes. And reporting out and sharing, being clear with our kids. There's also FERPA pieces of privacy issues that we have to be very, very careful about, you know, how we are sharing information and those kinds of pieces. So I can certainly try and, you know, put some bullet points in so that people can have a better understanding. No one wants to try and hide any information from our community at all. That's not the purpose. And we want to be as transparent and open as we possibly can, right? And I think that Kayla was able to really pinpoint some places in her part of the presentation of where we need to do better and where we need to look at policies and procedures and look at updates and be in the know. And this is why we are connecting with many consultants so that we can support those systems and build a stronger school.
Okay.
I want to ask Mr. Oz if you wanted to make any final comments, and then I have a comment, and then we will close the meeting.
Yeah, thank you. I'm dying to talk and simultaneously at a loss for words, but a few things. A couple things I want to recognize in terms of responsibility and accountability. One is things happened years ago, and an adequate restorative process was not put in place. And that I'm seeing in this moment. I've seen it over the last 2 weeks. And for that, my involvement in that, I take responsibility. A lot of the stuff we're dealing with in this moment happened years ago. And in those years, not only have people grown up and years gone by, but COVID happened and people have been locked in 18 months, dependent on social media as their form of communication. And the underestimation on our end of how much of previous situations have kind of boiled over without our awareness, that for that, I feel bad. Like that I feel stupid in this moment for not predicting that, the gravity of that situation more accurately. For that, I want to take responsibility. For that, also connected to that, underestimating the number of students that might speak out at this walkout. I think that took not only me by surprise, but the SSC, and seeing like how much was there and present is an indicator of everything I just shared. We were spring loaded, and adults too. We've spent 18 months having so much compression put on us and so much just stress. And then we have this honeymoon period where we return to school and we're all going, oh, this feels so good. We're back, and underestimating just what's going to explode as a result of it. For that, I do feel like I underestimated just how much was kind of beneath the surface. And Abba Yomi, I want to say like the words you spoke to me are the truest of the night. We don't need to take a side here. This is complicated. You can support the Student Safety Committee. They were amazing. The way they spoke tonight was beautiful. As an educator, if anyone else in this room is educators, when you watch students that attend the school you go to speak like that, that's the moment where you're like, this is beautiful. This is excellent what's happening here. And there's another side to this that needs to be discussed. And you've brought this up. We don't need to choose a side. And I've heard this come from another parent too. We need information, absolutely. But that information should not be to lead you to choose a side. The side is to support our students. We're a school. We support all of our 796 students. That's what we do here. Sometimes students are going to make mistakes. Sometimes those mistakes are going to be huge. And as a community, we support our students. So with that, we do need to hold people accountable. Title IX has, there's been mentions that we're in violation of Title IX. We're trying to figure that out. We've investigated past situations and we believe that we have investigated them appropriately, and we're reopening to make sure that we did. There's been no negligence in that regard. It's not to say there's perfection. We're human, we don't do things perfectly, but it hasn't been an act of negligence. And we're open to re-looking at these things to make sure we've done it right. So I just want to, like, that's all I could say in parting words. Let's not choose sides. It's going to cause, our students did not choose sides when they spoke. Our student safety committee tonight, when they spoke, did not choose sides. And the best I could say, let's follow their lead, because that's where I've been most inspired tonight, was watching, I think it was four students who spoke and spoke so eloquently and so beautifully and clarified that they are not condoning any of the hurt that is happening to our community.
And I see Daz, our new student board member, you have your hand up. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I had something prepared that I did want to say. As a student at OSA, I feel the need to discuss with both middle school and high school the true topic of word usage of accusations of rape, sexual assault, sexual harassment, and misconduct. Because of this issue, the atmosphere at OSA has been stressful and very unsettling for both teachers and students. This topic has created lots of issues of rising incidents, which has made our school unsafe, that has been reported for going on for a very long time at OSA, years even. And if we could have disciplinary actions where disciplinary is better scaled on the severity of severity and legalism. I'd also like to remind that the student-led event was optional and was not mandatory for middle schoolers who stayed by choice. And I just want to make sure, like, as students and parents and teachers, that everybody's learning to, you know, that we need to make the school as creating equalism and safety and less harm and segregation towards race, gender, and basically in general, all differences aside. And I feel that this topic and this issue has become more and more of, like, postponing due to the fact of rumors, accusations, and people just misguided with information. And I think that's about all.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your comments. In closing, I just want to say a few things. One is that it is so obvious that there is a tremendous amount of work that has to be done. And on many, many levels. And the effort to bring in an external multidisciplinary team is an effort to really support that work and to augment what is already in place. And that's a commitment that is not just a short-term commitment. That's a long-term commitment. And so what I think may not have been clear from some of the presentation was that the supports and the services that were shared in tonight's presentation will be here for this school year. I mean, this is not going to be, we can't address all of the issues that have come up in tonight's meeting. And leading up to tonight's meeting in a 1 to 2 month period. There is going to be significant support for students and families. We're not going to choose one group of students over another group of students. We are responsible for all of the students here in this community, and we are responsible for supporting all of the families in our community, and we're responsible for supporting the staff. At OSA, that is our responsibility. And we will be working to ensure that all of that happens. It's not a short-term commitment, it's a long-term commitment. And we will continue to have ongoing conversations about this work and get clearer on the roles and responsibilities and what we can do, what we can't do, what we can say, and what we cannot say. We are trying to untangle a very complex set of issues and rights and responsibilities. And we are committed to continuing to lean into this work. There's no easy answers. There's no silver bullets here. It's really hard work that will require a range of expertise. It will require a lot of empathy, a lot of compassion, and a lot of leadership. And that's why we're here. And it will require the adults to support the students. And as we move forward, we will be focused on all of those efforts. So I want to thank everybody for joining this meeting, for participating, for sharing your thoughts and your expertise. Want to recognize the external people that have agreed to support this community, including Kendall and Annette and Rebecca and Beth and Restorative Justice, our joy. And there is a way to restore harm, but it does not happen overnight. It will take time. And while we are working to restore harm, we will also be working on all of the other levels that we are required to work. And I see Jason, you have your hand up. Did you want to make a comment?
Yes, and I'll be very brief, and I don't think I could say it better than you did, Josefina, other than to say I think the OSA community is a very unique community, and that we have parents and students from a broad set of different communities, with all of us having the same shared set of goals and making sure that every student feels safe on our campuses, every student feels welcomed, every student feels that their rights are respected. And these are very complex issues. But I do want to add one thing, and that is that I don't think that we have to choose between making sure that students feel safe reporting sexual misconduct, making sure that students feel that they can hold our staff and our school accountable for making sure that we're doing what's right by students. If they feel unsafe and they feel that wrong has been done to them, or if they've seen something being done wrong, and Ty, I wanna applaud you for speaking to that. All of that said, I don't think we have to choose between that and respecting the rights of our students of color and our making sure that we're also respecting the rights of all of our students and that we're not responding to rumors. There are cases where many situations, unfortunately, where the school can't say everything that is known. And I know that's very frustrating, but at the same time, we have to uphold the rights of students as we're going through the process. And I believe that we have people who really care about all of our kids that are working through that. And I hope, especially as adults, that we can make sure that we refrain from holding kids accountable and focus on us as adults and hold us accountable, but not look at students and target kids when we're looking at who to hold accountable and who to make sure is doing the right thing. So sorry to be long-winded, and I apologize, Josefina, for jumping in. I just wanted to add that point.
Thank you, Jason. And so with that, we're going to adjourn the meeting. Again, thank you all for participating. This is not the only conversation we're going to be having. We will be having ongoing conversation, and we will be having ongoing services and trainings. And that work has already started, and it will continue as already stated. So thank you, everybody. The meeting is adjourned.